This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
She just looked at my ankle when I took my sock off because I was in denial for the first 10 days. I thought it was just a sprain. And I took my sock off and she just goes, "Emergency, emergency, emergency." And I just started crying.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hi team, welcome back to another episode of Take Note. My name is Shannon and I am an honours student here at the University of Adelaide, but I am also your host. And this week's episode is for all of you that are dreaming of some study and travel overseas. We've sat down with two amazing guests who will give you an insight into what it's like going on a study exchange and how you can get yourself there. Going overseas to study at an international university is one of the most major experiences you can have through your university. It's a way to get out into the world, be independent, meet new people, and expand your horizons. If it's something you're interested in doing, there's two ways you can get the plane ticket in your hands: an exchange or a scholarship. Today, we have Annabelle, who spent 6 months overseas on an exchange in Sweden in 2023, to tell you all about her study exchange experience. So thank you so much, Annabelle, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So, Annabelle, why did you decide to do an exchange?
Well, going back a few years, I was in year 12 when COVID hit. And if you told me at the start of year 12 that I was going to go to uni the next year, I would have told you to get stuffed. No way. Alas, we know what happened. And there I was at uni. And I knew that when I started, I needed to select a program which would enable me to go on exchange at like whatever cost, truly, because alternatively I would have taken a gap year and travelled, and so I figured a good alternative was going on exchange.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea of moving overseas with no friends or familiarity, even for a short amount of time, can be really intimidating and scary. So what, I guess, pushed you to go out of your comfort zone in that way?
That's a good question. I am someone who was brought up with pretty consistent change, which has led me to become someone who needs change very frequently. I get really restless really quickly. And as I said, travel was going to happen at whatever cost. So I knew that sacrifices had to be made. And I was excited by the prospect of everything that exchange accompanied exchange, really. So I just, for lack of a better word, sent it. I figured I'd handle any challenge that got thrown my way. And I know that change, growth happens when you step out of that comfort zone. And that was what I was trying to tell myself. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? You sort of have to change your mindset to be okay with that scary feeling, I think, that nervousness that comes from doing something brand new.
And I think first and second year uni, because I went at the start of my third year, first and second year uni also helped me, I guess, establish confidence in myself leading up to exchange. I knew I would be fine. Like I'd faced a lot of challenges in the lead up, which gave me confidence that I knew I would be fine.
I guess you've sort of got that uni experience. You know what uni is all about. So it's essentially just a change of scenery.
Yeah, exactly. Sweden, I don't think I could have moved further from home than Sweden, but maybe subconsciously that was part of it. I needed to get out and, yeah.
And I guess along with that, how was it making friends? You've got this whole new network of people in front of you, this whole new university. Where did you begin?
Well, I begun when I stopped off the train onto the platform, and finally I made two of my still to this day closest friends from exchange in that first moment. I would say I got lucky, but I did put a lot of research into which uni I decided to go to, and Lund is a uni which attracts a particular calibre of person. You have to be environmentally minded, you have to be outdoorsy, you have to be resilient to some pretty crappy weather. And so and of course you have to be somewhat academic. I made friends very easily. Lund, for context, there's about 90,000 people that live in Lund.
Oof.
50% of that is students, and 45% of that student body is international students.
Wow.
So they have a very well-established study abroad and overseas study overseas program. So in the first 2 weeks of my exchange semester, they had a lot of orientation events where not only did I meet people in my courses, but I met people that had come from all over the world to do the exact same thing that I had, and that was they were in the exact same position that I had. So that, on top of also living in student accommodation, I made friends very, very easily.
So it sounds like they've sort of, it's almost got a structure around it that you've got plenty of people around you that are in the same boat as you, so it becomes a lot easier to make those connections.
Yeah, totally. And you have a lot to bond over. Yeah, they're... Everyone, Sweden is not very close to a lot of places like Canada and Australia and New Zealand and the rest of Europe even, because it's at the very top. So everyone was there outside of their comfort zone, just wanting to make new friends and start that connection process. So yeah, it was super, super easy for me.
Were there any things that I guess surprised you about the experience or maybe about yourself through your exchange?
Something that did surprise me was... Yeah, a nice segue from the friends thing. I've always been very lucky. I've had great friends back home, back here in Adelaide, through school and uni and various sporting commitments. But something that did surprise me was when I went and I met certain people, which made me actually pause and think, oh my gosh, like, these are my people. Like, I didn't realise that there were people out there that could be so well aligned with your values and where you're at in life, that when you're around them, like, you can't really explain it. It just, you feel like you're growing every single day. And not that my pre-existing friends didn't do that, but when I was, like, plunged into that with really no expectations, I was like, I'll make friends with anyone. It did, yeah, that did surprise me. And somewhat separately from that, the challenges that I had to go through while I was on exchange, I'm sure we'll get into them later, but some more major than others. Yeah, they forced me to step outside of my comfort zone in a way that I hadn't had to before, which, yeah, was the prerequisite for some pretty big personal growth. So the personal growth aspect I probably hadn't fully prepared for.
Yeah. And what was, like you said there, you had some pretty intense challenges through that. What were some of those things that came up?
So 3 weeks into my exchange, actually being in Lund, I went on a hike with a few friends, two Aussies and a Brit, basically seeking out this forest, which is the reason that we all went, really. And we're having a great time, laughing, and then next minute I slip on a frozen puddle.
Oh, no.
And I break my ankle. Yeah, 3 weeks in. So I was living, for context, on the third floor of a student university building. And I was riding my bike to get anywhere. I was loving hiking and doing all of the things that requires you to be pretty mobile. So 6 weeks in a cast was definitely something that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and a whole new hospital system too.
Yeah, totally, totally. Having to get to the doctor or to make a doctor's appointment first, and then having to get from the doctor, which was separate, to the hospital. And bit of a tangent, but on the whole, everyone like spoke super, super good English. English in Lund that made me feel like as a native English speaker, I should be better. The worst person I ever encountered, like the person who had the worst English, was the doctor that I saw the first time I ever went to the doctor's office.
Oh my God.
And she just looked at my ankle when I took my sock off because I was in denial for the first 10 days. I thought it was just a sprain. And I took my sock off and she just goes, emergency, emergency, emergency. And I just started crying. I was like, because I had been so optimistic.
I
was like, it's just a sprain. It's just a sprain. It's nothing. Yeah, so she just kept screaming emergency and then making my way to the hospital. Anyway, I got through and solidified a lot of connections through that. Like, I really learned on my house. I was living in a corridor with 13 other people and I was so, so lucky. They did my laundry for me. They went grocery shopping.
Oh.
They, like, coordinated to get crutches picked up for me from the university and put them in the front of their baskets and ride them back. Yeah, so aside from the friends that I met, I learned essentially what I needed to make me happy and fulfilled, because all of a sudden all of that was stripped away from me.
Yeah.
So that was a big challenge that I have no regrets. Like, if I went on that hike again and I saw what I was about to do, I wouldn't have stopped me, because as I said, I learned so much and I made so many connections from that. And yeah, it also made me really appreciate having two functional ankles.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that was pretty major.
I guess it's a good reminder that even, you know, when you end up in a scenario like that, you know, you're kind of not even really picturing that happening when you are preparing for an exchange,
yeah.
Particularly if you're only going for 6 months.
Yeah.
It makes you realize, like, you just have to go.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things that could possibly be really, really scary.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, you will be okay. You will be fine. Like, you're sitting here and you're like, couldn't be happy about the fact that you went.
No, totally. Yeah. I hope that doesn't deter people, because, yeah, while it was really non-ideal at first, I got through and I learned so much and I got all my money back. The Swedish, like, hospital system was great. Insurance back at Adelaide Uni was awesome and super responsive and really helpful. And, yeah, I got so many benefits from it, really.
Yeah, there are systems in place. You are good.
Yes, totally. These things are meant to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess... how did you even get started with an application when it came to an exchange? Because I guess it can seem kind of like quite a daunting experience.
Yeah.
There are so many different universities you can go to and everything.
Yeah, yeah. What I will start out in saying is don't let the application process deter you. It's when I did it, it was long and there were some curveballs, but every single one of them was worth it for the 7 months that I had. Absolutely. So I started looking at potential host universities, like, back when I was in high school, in that COVID lockdown, just needing something to dream about. literally. I didn't find Lund back then. I think I was, like, looking at Canada. But when I got closer to the time that I knew we'd be allowed to go on exchange again, I just essentially trawled the Study Overseas website. I found the information session that was coming up and attended that with another friend. We asked a few questions and essentially begun the process. I was looking, I have a feeling that the website's probably updated now, but on their website you can filter for which, like, continent you want to go to, which universities have high availability, like medium availability and low availability, and which faculties might correlate, like where you say, like, if I was an art student, I wanted to find somewhere that I could go and study arts. So I just kept having a look through them, narrowed down that I wanted to go to Europe, and then Scandinavia made sense because of the field of study that I'm in, and they speak really good English.
Yeah.
That was a major. And then I made the mistake of saying in front of a Swedish friend's mum that I was considering Sweden. From that point on, I was going to Sweden because, there's no other alternative. And then, to be honest, the Lund University campus is like no other. It's so beautiful. And what sold me, I think, was this photo of the main library in spring, which it would sell anyone. It's like the most beautiful building. And for someone who studies plants, like, it was this old, beautiful, architecturally sound building just covered in green.
Oh,
like,
my God.
What's not appealing about that? And from then on, I don't think there was any other option, really, once I checked off, like, all of the other essential boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is your advice, I guess, for someone who is embarking on that application process?
I would say don't be afraid to reach out to people, like, get in contact with Study Overseas and ask if there's anyone that's been to those universities. I've spoken to a few students who were looking at going to Lund or who did go to Lund. That was also a really rewarding process for me, like, having, like, giving advice and reflecting. I would say look at the culture of the city, if that makes sense. Again, something that attributed to my amazing time in Lund was that I looked at whether they have much of a student city vibe, if that's what you're after. Just figure out what you want out of your experience. Like, if you want to go, and not really make friends and just spend the whole time, I don't know, kayaking in some river in Switzerland, make sure that that's accessible to you. Or if you want to go and learn another language, maybe go to somewhere like Berlin where you can culturally immerse yourself. Figure out what you want out of your exchange and then make sure that the host like aligns with that. Obviously, that's on top of making sure that you can do the right courses and they speak English or whatever language you need to speak. But yeah.
Yeah. And one of the biggest barriers for people to going on exchange is, of course, the financial side of things. So I guess as someone who's been through it, how did your exchange program work alongside things like HEX?
Right. So we all know how HEX works. Obviously, if you get a HEX loan, then you don't pay university up front and you get the loan. There's an option available called AusHelp. But you're entitled to two of those per undergraduate degree that you do. So say if I did a three-year bachelor's, technically I could go on a year-long exchange program and I could receive two of those separate payments. And, yeah, they just go on top of your HEX debt and you pay it off like you would the rest of your university fees.
That's great. It's a bit of a helping hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I should mention I did save a lot of money too. And maybe that was one of the benefits of COVID lockdown. I was working in retail and so I got a lot of work and didn't have that many things to spend it on. So I set a goal of how much I wanted in my bank account before I left, knowing that I'd also get AusHelp. But being organised from potentially even a year out, in saying this, I had friends over there who did not save very much and they relied on that AusHelp and potentially they were receiving things like Centrelink if you're eligible for that. I know there are some requirements, various other things. But yeah, look at AusHelp, look at Centrelink and be organised with a budget maybe like a year on with working part-time alongside your studies. Exchange can be daunting, super, super terrifying, I know, but I think if you get in, you have to go.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be, if you can afford it financially and you're in the right state of life, I guess, there are going to be 1,000 anxious thoughts that pop up at every step of the way, but it's worth it. And there's, in my mind, like there's no other option. If you get in, you have to go. Like it's terrifying, but you just have to do it. Just tell yourself you'll be fine and you'll make it. And the worst, like, worst comes to worst, if you really hate it, you can just come home. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Annabelle.
No worries. Thank you for reaching out.
We all know overseas travel can be expensive, but what you might not know is that our university offers scholarships to help you get on that plane. These can either be through the University of Adelaide, directly with the university you'd like to study at, or even through a prestigious scholarship if you're looking to go overseas for postgraduate study. We're joined by Jasmina from Study Overseas to give us the ins and outs of what the university offers that you could be eligible for. Thank you so much for joining me on the pod.
Thanks for having me today.
Could you tell us a little bit about what kind of opportunities are available for students?
So there's plenty of funding opportunities available to students, but it will depend on what a student chooses to do when they go overseas and where they choose to go overseas. So the most common source of funding that a majority of University of Adelaide students can access is something called an AusHelp loan. Basically, it's something similar to the current HEX Help loan that most Australian students are familiar with if they are in a Commonwealth supported place. But what's really nice about this loan is that instead of going directly to the University of Adelaide to cover your tuition fee costs, this loan instead goes directly into your bank account and it's entirely up to students as how they choose to use these fees or the loan to cover their overseas travel. And with this loan, there are two different amounts depending on which destination you're going to. So if you choose to travel overseas in 2024, and you're choosing to go to a non-Asian destination, I believe the amount is just short of $8,000 that students can apply for. Whereas if you do choose to go to Asia, it's $8,500 or around that mark. And the amounts do change each year, depending on what the Department of Education sets the loan at. Of course, with any sorts of funding offered by the government, terms and conditions do apply, but it's one of the most common sources of funding available to University of Adelaide students, which is really cool. In addition to this loan scheme, which unfortunately is a debt, but at least easy money to access, there are grants and scholarships also available to students. So again, scholarships do vary depending on which destination you choose to go for and how long you're going overseas for. But most money, if you're interested, is in Asia. So students this year may have heard of several scholarships being offered to students going to Asia. So one of them is the New Colombo Plan Scholarship. This scholarship is offered by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade and a quite prestigious scholarship. I believe it's valued up to $87,000.
Wow, that's
a
lot.
It's a lot of money for a student, and it's a life-changing amount of money for some as well. So this scholarship is specific for students travelling or wishing to study in the Indo-Pacific region. Again, T's and C's do apply, including age requirements and other eligibility criteria. But the fact that this scholarship helps cover students' costs associated with overseas travel, such as visas, flights, if they're studying at a university where they have to pay additional tuition fees, this scholarship covers it all. In addition to that, they also have a case manager with the New Colombo Plan Secretariat, who also assists the students with their study plan, travels and intentions, itinerary, and make sure that it's all in order before a student does travel and embarks on this great new adventure. So that's one awesome scholarship available. There's also another scholarship that students may have heard of called the Westpac Asian Exchange Scholarship. Mm-hmm. So this scholarship is valued at $12,250 last time I checked. And this scholarship is specifically available to University of Adelaide students because we are partnered with Westpac for the specific grant funding.
Great.
And applications for the next round is actually opening this October for students who do wish to apply for exchange or an overseas program in semester 2, 2025. So yeah, applications open in early October, closing in late November, early December, I believe, and students can apply directly with Westpac if they're interested. Again, T's and C's and eligibility requirements apply, but really good value for money if you are interested in travelling to destinations such as China, Japan, Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, possibly. So lots of options for that.
Yeah, wow. And I think a lot of people were thinking, am I actually going to be eligible for any of these? So who should be looking to apply for scholarships when it comes to overseas study?
So if you're just passionate or interested in overseas study, full stop, apply. There's usually something available for everyone. Australian citizens probably have the greatest access to scholarships for overseas study. International students, there are options available, but they can be limited depending on your experience, how long you're going overseas for, or how you're currently covering your tuition here at the University of Adelaide. In addition to scholarships or grants offered by study overseas, sometimes the scholarships office also offers travelling scholarships for certain degrees or departments. The requirements and eligibility criteria do change from year to year, so if you are interested and looking for funding, definitely consider applying and make sure that you thoroughly read the conditions before applying. And yeah, just contact Study Overseas if you do have any further questions.
And, you know, particularly for scholarships that cover the entire cost of study, you know, a whole study program, you could be talking about a big amount of money like that New Colombo, $87,000, you know. So some of these opportunities, the application processes can be, I imagine, pretty in depth and pretty involved. So what advice do you have regarding those actual applications?
Well, first up, if you're applying for any type of scholarship or grant, you've got to be in it to win it. So if you don't apply, you're not going to be considered. So first step, apply in the first instance. Second step would be to actually have a read through what the scholarship is about, what the intentions for the scholarship are for, including the eligibility requirements as well as the conditions. Because most of the time, especially if a government is offering funding to university students, they want to see that students have done their research and that they actually have ambitions or reasons for studying abroad rather than having a glorified holiday. So ideally, a University of Adelaide student already has academic ambitions will be able to clearly articulate how a scholarship would benefit their overseas study and what else that they can gain from that adventure if they choose to study overseas. So not only are you going overseas for academic reasons, students are also travelling overseas to network, to meet new people who have similar passions, basically to get outside of their normal University of Adelaide bubble and find out new opportunities for what they're going to do, either life after uni or life in postgraduate studies after undergrad, etc. So yeah, going overseas is not just about the academics, it's also about the cultural experience, the networking experience, also just growing as a person.
Life experience.
Yeah, because even myself, when I went overseas as an undergrad, I grew up a lot, like living overseas independently from parents, having to work out my own budget, not for the first time in my life, but the first time as an independent in my life. It's a struggle. And I think for most students, it's just learning the skills and, yeah, just becoming, well, learning how to adapt and become resilient to change and challenges that one can face. And finances is a big struggle that I think a lot of people are facing these days.
Yeah, totally.
And throwing in like a big financial hurdle, like overseas study, it's very overwhelming. But yeah, any financial incentive that is available can give a student peace of mind. But the hard thing is with financial incentives is that it's not always guaranteed, especially when it comes to competitive grants or scholarships. So whenever you are planning for overseas study, make a plan B, have a backup option, always over budget for an overseas experience, avoid under budgeting because that's when you can get into a bit of financial trouble. And if you ever do under budget in a particular area, you can always pull back in others or find other ways to also come up with the finances that you may need. But yeah, it can be a struggle. But going back to the question about how to deal with an application, apologies for the tangent. Make sure that you address the criteria. Actually state why this would benefit you in the long run. Like, you don't have to be a student in high financial need to be awarded a scholarship. Sometimes if you can clearly be able to tell someone on paper or in writing why this overseas experience is important to you and how this extra money will enhance your experience or benefit you in the long run is probably a reason why some students do get selected for a scholarship. And articulating your reasons for going overseas can be a struggle. I know sometimes when you're sitting down and you're staring at a question and you're trying to answer it and your brain just goes funky. It's hard. It is a challenge. But I always recommend to students break it down. Have a look at what they're actually asking on paper if you need to. Blurt out everything that you want to say and then make sure you self-edit. Basically revise what you've written. Look at what the question is actually asking and then fine-tune your response to the question, especially if it is to do with a scholarship application. And if you need be, ask friends and family to review your responses, making sure that what you're saying does actually make sense.
Yeah.
And always, if you can, refer back to why you want to go to destination X. Like if you're studying languages, you probably want to go to that country because that's where the language is widely spoken. So make sure you state that in the application. Or if you're doing a particular study area that's quite niche and this university happens to excel in that study area, mention that because whoever's reviewing your application isn't going to know that. You got to write your application to someone who you're assuming has no idea who you are or why you want the funding or what your ambitions are long term. So you have to clearly put it on paper and say, this is what I want to do. This is why I would love funding to help me do what I want to do. And this is how I'm going to benefit in the long run. And sometimes, especially with the new Colombo Plan scholarship application, because it is a government scholarship, they want to know how you basically will represent Australia, the University of Adelaide, while you're overseas. And one of the benefits of sending you over another student going to benefit the scholarship program in the future. Also, how are you going to promote this scholarship program to future applicants in the future? Or even when you are applying for jobs, actually making those future employers aware of what the new Colombo Plan scholarship is and why they should actually be considering students who have participated in this program in the past because of all the skills, the cultural experiences they've had. It's not just a glorified holiday. You're actually learning, developing, growing as a person, learning new things, overcoming challenges and basically building the skills that you need to get into the workforce as an adult, I guess, if you feel like one at that point. I know I still don't, but
considering that career trajectory as well, like, you know, what's that going to do for you as you enter into your industry as well?
Mm-hmm. And it's also hard because
things are constantly changing in this day and age. One thing that we thought was what the industry wanted in 1 year, completely different from another. And that's also another reason why students have to show how prone they are. Well, not prone, but how they can easily adapt to change. And that's something that I think a lot of future employers are looking for. And it's hard to, again, articulate that in an application saying, this is how I can adapt. There's heaps of ways. And when in doubt, if you ever have questions, always feel free to contact the person or the or study overseas or whoever is actually offering the scholarship. Ask them questions if you're ever unsure about what the application criteria are or how you should address a particular component, because different people can have different interpretations to questions as well. And the more people you ask, the more perspectives you have, which will then give you a better idea on how to actually address your application at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I mean, they can, like I say, they are pretty intensive as well. So if maybe you do need a bit of help to sort of give you a bit more direction, or so you know that you're on the right track with your application, are there places in the university that you can go that can help you through that?
Oh yeah, for sure. So the first one that comes to mind is Career Services. So they are an awesome team to help students fine tune their resumes, even when it comes to interviews, how to conduct yourself in an interview, how to address certain questions, things to avoid saying or things to avoid writing in a job application, or in this case, a scholarship application. So their resources are really awesome and can be adapted to scholarship applications. So they have advisors where if you are planning to write a job application or a scholarship application, they're happy to do appointments, but you do have to come armed with drafts, with ideas of what you want to write. And what they can do is look at what you've already started on, and they can give you tips on how to flesh it out or build upon what you've already got as a foundation, and basically put your best foot forward with your actual application, how to sell yourself in your application so that whoever's reviewing it actually knows who you are as an applicant, why you want to do what you want to do, and again, how you're going to benefit from whatever you're applying for in the long run.
You sort of touched on it already, but like what kinds of things, I guess, are the scholarship boards, so like people that are actually making the decisions, what sort of things are they tending to look for in the applications?
Basically, they want students who have an idea of what they want to get out of their experience. If it's a student that is uncertain, or if they come across as a little wishy-washy in their application, they're not going to be as ideal as someone who has clearly articulated what their ambitions are. For example, I could be a media student who was doing film as my major, and I might be really fascinated with anime or Japanese horror. And in my application, like if I state, hey, this is my passion, and like if I can learn the skills from that cultural perspective when I return to Australia, when I'm creating my own horror films here in Adelaide, this is what I'm planning to use or adapt or enhance what my future projects are going to be, or at least bring a little pizzazz to the film industry in Australia after they graduate. That's potentially one perspective. Or if it's someone in engineering, it could just be learning like the different cultural ways of doing what they do within that area or within that field, because there are different ways of doing things. Not everything's set standard and set in stone. It might be that the way they do things is more rigid, or there's more order to it, rather than being open to multiple perspectives or hearing other ideas to get a project moving along. The scholarship boards in general, though, are looking for someone who is basically going to be a really good fit and who's going to benefit more from the funding. And no two students are ever the same. There might be a student who is high financial need and it's very apparent as to why they need this funding. But there might be another student who might financially be better off, but you don't know what other struggles are happening behind the scenes. It might be they're not being supported by family or friends to go overseas, so they may need the additional finances to actually make their dreams happen. Or it could be that a student has very high ambitions, or maybe traveling to a country where the cost of living might be more than they anticipate. For example, if students want to go to Singapore, awesome city and country to study in, so many opportunities. The cost of living in Singapore is quite competitive. And even just getting accommodation in Singapore, if you're not going through mandated university housing and you're trying to enter the private market, can be a little bit worse than what we're experiencing here in Adelaide, which is bizarre to think about considering the conditions we're in right now. So just having that extra financial backup can add a little bit of security and stability to a student study overseas experience rather than stressing or being super duper anxious over the finances. Finances in general will give them that peace of mind. And the people who review scholarship applications do take that into consideration, but they'll also look at other factors and will look at an application as a whole. Of course, academics usually play a strong role in it as well. Like, having good results does definitely help. But for some students, there might have been reasons why they haven't been able to achieve that perfect 7.0 GPA. And that standard is incredibly high. And the average, like, everyday student probably isn't going to reach that level. I know I wasn't at that level when I was a student, for sure. I was probably your like low distinction credit average, which is probably the everyday student here or there. So if there are other life factors that have impacted study, if students do mention that in their application, they go, look, I don't have the best grades, but I do have the ambition. I do have the passion to do this, and this is why I want to do this experience, it does stand out to someone reviewing an application. And yeah, sometimes someone may go, okay, based on our rubric for how we're selecting applicants, this one who doesn't have the perfect 7.0 GPA is worthwhile investing in with this scholarship because they will find more value out of their experience versus this student who's got that perfect 7.0 GPA but hasn't been able to articulate what they're actually going to be benefiting from in the long term with their application. And of course, a government department assessing an application versus study overseas assessing an application versus Westpac assessing their application. Everyone's going to have different criteria, different ideas of what they want from an applicant as well. So hence why an applicant should reach out to whoever they're applying to for this funding and asking the questions about what are you actually after? Like, what are you prioritizing with the successful recipients of this grant or scholarship? And yeah, essentially you can get a better idea of how to write that application, tailor it to whoever you're writing it for, but at the same time, being honest about what your intentions are, talking about who you are as a person, and yeah, essentially putting your best foot forward and trying to sell yourself to say, hey, this is why I need $87,000 to study in Asia.
And if a student wants to look beyond what the university here offers, what's your advice on maybe even just like how to find other scholarship opportunities? Because there are lots out there.
And it can be hard to find. Like, a lot of scholarships that are currently offered, well, specifically in study overseas, seems to be very Asia Indo-Pacific centric, which is might be troublesome for someone who does want to study in North America or Europe or South America or even Africa, where there are funding opportunities, but they're just not as abundant. So for a student who is looking for funding in those destinations, first up, look at the university scholarships website. Their travel scholarships that they have available are usually not destination specific, unless it is Westpac, which I understand they do advertise. But if it's a scholarship offered by your school or the faculty, usually it's just degree specific and you have to be in a particular study area to be considered for that scholarship. So again, if you don't apply for it, you can't be considered for it. So if you see those types of scholarships and you're like, oh, this sounds really awesome, I technically fit the criteria, apply for it. Because if you don't apply, you can't be considered. In regards to our partner universities, so if anyone is interested in doing a semester or full year exchange, some of our partner universities do offer scholarships to exchange students, but these are not always guaranteed and usually they are highly competitive depending on the destination. In Europe, we have had universities in Germany, in Denmark, offer exchange scholarships to Australian students, but it's a very competitive process. Most of the time, students will indicate their interest in a scholarship as part of their exchange application. So usually it's not as intensive as applying for the New Colombo Plan Scholarship to DFAT, but students will still need to present a transcript and present their reasons for studying and indicating what their primary study area will be while at that university. And those factors may come into play with the final decision of who gets awarded the scholarship. With these scholarships, it is also really hard for study overseas to predict if they are going to be reoccurring or if they are only once off. So if someone wants to apply for an overseas experience and be guaranteed for a scholarship, be mindful of timelines, be mindful of whether you already have to be an applicant for that university to even be in the pool or even in the running to apply. Mm. And if you do apply for an overseas experience and you're like, look, I'm just going to go overseas, see how I go. If I need to be tight with my budget, it is what it is. But if I happen to get extra funding, it's just an awesome bonus.
Yeah.
And if you do apply for a study overseas exchange program and we do have a university after we've already sent our exchange students there or students are already in the pipeline of applying and they go, oh, we've got like grants or scholarships we can offer to University of Adelaide students who like, can you encourage your students to apply? If we ever get those random scholarships come through, we will contact students and say, hey, we've been informed of this funding. You may be eligible to apply. Here, go your hardest. So we will always contact students directly if we know there's anything specific that they are eligible to apply for. But the hard thing is they are few and far in between. So it's always best to budget for an overseas experience without the scholarship funding. Mm. And if you happen to be awarded a scholarship or a grant, just consider it as an awesome bonus to help you do those extracurricular things that you'll do that you normally wouldn't do if you didn't have it.
Yeah.
Or like spend a little bit more when you do go out and network with friends and whatnot as well. So yeah, it's just a bonus. So it's hard because like being like guaranteed funding does add stability and peace of mind to your finances. But that's the hard thing. And I feel like that's also with day-to-day life as well.
Totally.
So like not everything's guaranteed. Sometimes there's always that really big bill that comes up unexpectedly. And that same thing can happen on exchange. So yeah, that comes back to my mantra of over budgeting for an overseas experience than under budgeting. Because if you over budget, hopefully you've got enough buffer room for those unexpected costs that can occasionally arise.
Yeah. And do you have any other advice for students trying to get an overseas study scholarship?
Be open-minded with where you want to go. Sometimes the destinations where there is the most funding may not necessarily be the location that you want to go. I know when I was an undergrad, I always thought I would travel to Europe. Europe was my go-to destination. But I actually went to Japan as part of my undergrad experience. And it was, well, A, I was one of those students that left it to the last minute to go overseas. But also B, the program that I applied for, I didn't even know there was funding. I just applied for it because all my friends were doing it and I only had one semester of study left. And I was like, oh, winter school's the last time I can go overseas.
Yeah.
I should apply for this study tour that happened to be run by an academic that I took a couple of courses with. And I had zero expectations on getting a spot in this study tour. I just was like, I literally did it last minute. And I got a spot in the study tour and they're like, oh, by the way, you've been awarded this grant to go to Japan.
It's stunning.
Basically going to cover your program costs. And I'm like, what? Usually funding comes at the most unexpected times in the unexpected places. With our study tours, we always advertise if there is funding available and what the conditions are. And essentially with study tours for grants, you don't have to do a separate application to be considered the funding. You just need to get a spot in that program. And if you meet the T's and C's for that scholarship, hopefully you'll get offered a scholarship.
Wow.
So there are those instances where it almost feels like money is falling from the sky, but not necessarily. And it's the same with our semester exchange programs. Like for I'm not sure what's happening for semester two next year, but I do know for semester one, we do have $7,000 grants to give to students who go to Japan. So if we do have students that are successful with getting an exchange offer for Japan, I'm looking very forward to telling the successful students that, hey, you're going to get $7,000 just because you applied for exchange to Japan.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes in those instances, it does feel like money's falling from the sky because there is no separate application process.
Mm.
But yeah, so for those who want to go somewhere, don't know where to start, you can look on the Study Overseas website, on our funding page. We usually have a section where we list our funded programs, so our exchange partners or our study tours that do have grant funding available. So if you want an opportunity that is almost guaranteed funding, that's a really good place to start. But it's also good to be mindful that it's not guaranteed. We sometimes don't know how many grants we're going to have for a particular program until we select the students. But it's also dependent on when we get notified, whoever's offering the scholarship or giving us the funding. When they confirm that we've received the funding, then we know how many grants we can give away. And then, yeah, again, with the scholarships available directly with our university partners, it's all at their discretion. Unfortunately, we have no strings to pull on a student's behalf for them to be guaranteed a scholarship. It's just the case of you have to apply to that university to be considered. And if you're happy, if you are fortunate enough to get the funding, awesome, good on you. But yeah, those who are more open-minded usually have the best experiences because then they come across things that they never would have anticipated ever. And while those who do have a very set track mind of what they want to do, like, I must go to the United Kingdom because that's where my family came from. That is absolutely fine. You totally go do that. Like, go find out your history roots or go do your German holiday or French holiday and drink all the wine. Like, you have your reasons for doing you. But for those who are uncertain or don't know what their path is, be open-minded and, yeah, considering even non-English destinations is the best way to start.
Yeah.
And then, like, you might choose to learn a new language or experience a new culture. Like, I could rattle on and on. I think we've got a time limit with this. But, yeah, open-mindedness, I think, is the best and most attractive quality to have when you are considering overseas study.
Amazing. It sounds like if anyone's interested, a trip to study overseas is what they should be doing.
It just opens so many doors, so many new experiences that you may not even be exposed to if you remained in little old Adelaide. And Adelaide is cool, but going overseas just makes you appreciate home a little bit more. Like every time I travel overseas, whenever I get home, I'm like, oh, I'm back home. Mm. Like, I don't know whether it's the fresh air, the green parklands that we have. Like, I think I will always come back to Adelaide, but it's always nice to see other things.
Yeah.
And then make you realise, actually, home is quite cool. It's Adelaide, but that's okay.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Jasmina. It's been great.
No, thanks so much for having me, Shannon.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We've really loved having both Annabelle and Jasmina on the podcast today, and I really hope you are able to learn something, take something away. And if you were someone who was planning some travel overseas, I hope this has pointed you in the right direction. It's really an amazing opportunity, and I hope that it all goes well for you. If you have enjoyed the show today, then do follow us on Spotify and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts too so that other students can find us. You can also head over to our Instagram account, which is uoa.oncampus. Feel free to just send us a DM there. Let us know what you think of the show. If you have anything that you're dying to see us talking about, we would really love to hear from you. But that's all for this week. So I will see you next fortnight with another episode of Take Note.
Take note.
This is a UOA on campus production.